Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. There's been low-key celebrations on the streets of Midtjylland and Sergio Aguero's back in the goals. It's Thursday, the 10th of December. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vinusha Nahantaraja.
As I say, I've got a good feeling about this one. I like Luke Moore when he's like this. Anyway, before we get onto that, we've got to tell you all about another brand new excellent episode of the Between the Lines podcast released yesterday. It covers the subject of head injuries in the context of course, Raul Jimenez now out of hospital, which is great news after that horrific head injury against Arsenal a week and a half ago. Doctors say he will be fit and well to play again, which is amazing news. And Melissa has spoken to Ryan Mason, who, if you remember, back in 2017 had a similar experience, but he was less lucky. That clash of heads against Chelsea, wasn't it, with Gary Cahill? And in this episode, he talks to Melissa Reddy about that experience, what he feels about how football has failed to keep up with the science around head injuries. Melissa's also speaking to Dr. Willie Stewart, who first proved football's link with dementia. It's a really great listen. I learned a lot from it. And I promise you will as well. Just head over to Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, wherever you get your pods, have a listen and hit subscribe.
Absolutely.
Luke and Fish.
Yeah, how you doing? Good to see you.
Oh, nice to see you too.
Good to see you, Vish.
Yeah, you're kind of weirdly pumped up for
little
this.
Little meltdown about the level of your chair earlier, but we're here now.
You're just really chipper today.
I'm excited.
I'm not going to give the same reason I gave before we started recording, but I think something is up.
I went to make you a coffee and I made Kate a tea. Myself a tea. I'm just in a good mood. It's another great day. We've all got our health. We're very happy to be here. That's all it is.
We have all got our health.
Fish was a little... Despite the damn football last night, which was abysmal.
Fish was a little bit disgruntled because of the chair height, though. What we should say about it is that the chair is... It's not you that's at fault. It's the chair that's at fault.
The chair is a regulation chair.
It's a big chair.
If the feet are dangling, that doesn't...
I look like Baby Yoda in this chair. It's too big a chair.
Who's Jules's Baby Yoda?
Tarek Lamptey, yeah.
What's happened, Kate? I'll tell you what's happened and I'll tell the listeners what's happened. Vish is the most celebrated heel in Luke's game entertainment history. He's currently the lineal champion. He was chipping off last week on Twitter.
He wasn't chipping on,
if anything.
I went back to him and said that he can't see over the steering wheel of his car and he got upset about it, and all of a sudden the chair's a problem.
I didn't get upset about it because I know it's not true. And falsehoods can't hurt me.
That's true, actually. Sticks and stones, baby.
So sorry, obviously I don't want to go into this much in full.
I think you do, actually. You got that look in your eye that you really do.
But if so,
Fish, do the thing about her hands.
So Fish, if
I don't do anything about her hands.
That's old material. This, on the other hand, is not old material, Vish. So you're the lineal champion.
Yeah,
I am, yes.
But obviously I...
No, you lost your championship.
I know, but I did.
You have owned it.
But last time we were facing each other.
You beat him. It's true.
So it's a wacky world, isn't it? It's a wild world, Lutes
game. All I'll say, it'll be reflected in the rankings. And one thing I should say for all the Lutes Games fans out there is that Vish defends that title against People's Champion Marcus Spurr tomorrow. So tune in for that.
Bloody
hell. Tune in for that. The amount of audio goodness being sent out to the people at large is amazing. Between the Lines with Melissa, Luke's Game, similar documentary pursuits, I think we can all agree. Both as weighty. Don't choose your favourite. They're both weighty. Both excellently weighty. So enjoy that tomorrow as well.
Oh, man. It's almost as good as the little gif that Jim's now got on his phone of Jamie Redknapp saying he's fit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's beautiful.
I mean, I'd keep that. I'd play that every opportunity.
That to heart, yes.
It's really nice, that actually. We should be a boosting source of enthusiasm and joy. Vish, you're looking tall today, and that's all that matters. Right, let's get into this football then, shall we? Midtjylland 1, Liverpool 1.
I thought that was another dig. Go on.
Your home nation 1, Liverpool 1.
Liverpool playing with lots of kids, but they looked massive against that team. Yeah. Mo Salah, opener within a minute, makes him Liverpool's top scorer in the history of the modern Champions League. And also the glorious off-the-line clearance from Fabinho. That was delicious. Sadly, El Quivín Kelleher concedes a penalty with a foul on Dreyer. But
the hardest thing about all of this is pronouncing that man's name.
I know.
And I really enjoyed the way you do it. I know you got a lot of credit for it online for doing it right. Kate puts a lot of work in behind the scenes for that kind of stuff. So good on you. I thought this game was, it felt to me like, I'm going to just take you a little bit down memory lane if I may, very, very quickly. So a good friend of mine is a fan of Wycombe Wanderers. And obviously I support Portsmouth. And a few years ago, both teams were really struggling badly in League Two. And they were both fan owned. And we used to go to the game, each other's home game ground, to watch the game. And I went to Adams Park to watch Wycombe v Portsmouth once. And it was so dull and so, I want to say dystopian, but quite, I think the word I would use for it was just bleak. It was just a bleak midweek League Two game in the winter between two bankrupt clubs.
I'm not having you compare this to Midtjylland's glorious backdrop.
And my friend and I started referring to the Portsmouth v Wycombe as the death of football derby.
No.
Right? And
no.
And I'm not suggesting that either of these teams are at that poor level, but the idea of a illustrious historic club like Liverpool going to play a dead rubber in Denmark in the middle of winter with no fans, the players aren't even going to get to see the beautiful country of Denmark, and it be like that, and there's a load of VAR, and then they'll just travel straight back again. It just made me quite sad. And I wonder if anyone's with me on that.
Di Matteo's not sad. He was the youngest player to appear in the Champions League.
A great night for
and
him.
And Luke Moore's just pissing all over it.
I think that made it a little bit worse, actually, because I kind of agree with you.
Have your debut for one of the world's greatest clubs on the shittest night of all time.
Yeah.
Would you take it?
And because,
yes.
Well, yes, I would.
Probably would.
Yeah, probably would.
Yeah.
Denmark's lovely as well.
But they can't see any of it. That's the point.
Yeah, true. But the other part of it that I thought was a bit off was that because they played so many kids, just seeing their breath in the air as well felt a little bit Oliver Twisty.
Yeah.
And to my mind, Jurgen Klopp is a little bit Fagan, isn't he?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I don't like seeing young kids' breaths.
Why was Clarkson wearing like a little peaked hat as well? Little ripped trousers. Just give him a kit.
Give him full gloves.
yeah, little fingerless gloves like Pete Donaldson. Donaldson's a massive fan of the fingerless gloves, by the way.
Is that
he's always rocking
them in the winter. Subsequent Vespa purchase, or is he going to need fingers on those gloves?
I bought some quite robust fingless gloves
for the press box.
For press boxes, but they're too robust, so I can't get on the keyboard.
You're so relatable, mate. That's what the fans want to hear.
With if you're doing broadcasting, you can just have a full ski mitt. Because you're just holding the mic. So it's yet another example of us living in luxury while you blaze a trail with your gloves.
So Midtjylland are a really interesting story, as we know, and the whole Matthew Benham ownership thing and how they've been able to achieve what they've achieved. They've also got an ex-Portsmouth player as their manager, Brian Prisk. Not a Hall of Famer, I admit, but he did play for Portsmouth. And of course, I am being flippant. It was a team like Midtjylland, with the greatest respect, being able to play Liverpool in the Champions League group stage, regardless of the situation, is amazing for them to pick up a point, and great for them. But I think it's partly because yesterday we had, or the night before, sorry, we had some really exciting kind of Champions League action. Perhaps, Vish, for you, for all the wrong reasons. But that was kind of in microcosm. One night was for English clubs what the Champions League could be all about, and the next night was just a little bit dull.
Well, I mean, only for the games involving English clubs.
That's what I'm saying. That's literally what I just said.
Yeah, yeah, right, okay. but I wouldn't say that is a poor reflection on, I suppose, what Liverpool or Chelsea would have got out of this week. You know, I was at the Chelsea game on Tuesday, and the fact that Billy Gilmore and Jonan started, and the fact that, you know, they were able to play, what, Reece Williams, Neco Williams, Kometia came on. Who used to be a ball boy.
That's amazing.
But I thought...
Not that long ago either, which is depressing.
But yeah, I mean, that's the depressing part. Yeah, but the other thing, I was like, oh, God, that reminds me of someone else's story who used to be a ball boy. And that's obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold, who used to be a ball boy.
Yes.
And you realise it's not actually that amazing because they just use academy graduates. And if your academy players are really damn good, that's going to happen. So,
are Liverpool the only team to stumble upon the idea that, for some reason, ball boys are all brilliant at football? It's not, is it? It's the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Aiden Hazard was kicking them.
They don't even need to have a scouting system anymore. No. They just go, you're ball boy today. Let's get him on.
We're a bit short already. Ball boy's knocking around.
Who's this youngster that? Well, he's a paper boy. We thought, well, we've had so much of that with the other boys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same. Yes, he's an excellent journalist. Yeah. That's how paper boys work. It's like a journalism academy. Yeah. That's how Vish started out, doing a paper round.
It is. Beautiful.
The interesting thing I thought was the fact that, having complained so much about the schedule with a dead rubber, I thought, I'll just play all the big guns anyway.
Yeah, the greatest hits. People in Denmark need to see that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this tweet from Tom Carnduff, who I don't know, I just saw it on Twitter. He said, poor from the broadcasters forcing Liverpool to play Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, Keita, Jota, Salah, Firmino, Henderson, Mane and Robertson in this game where the result literally doesn't matter.
Bit disrespectful to the people of Midtjylland, of course.
Surprisingly, Klopp then pivoted to VAR straight away, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So I didn't see the Minamino goal that was disallowed. Mm-hmm. I didn't see...
He looks upset.
Yeah, well...
So Sadio Mane headed it onto his own hand, basically.
So did he actually do that? Because I couldn't make out from the two replays that I saw.
Well, the broadcast...
I didn't watch it live, so...
Well, the broadcast itself was quite confusing because the commentators immediately pivoted to say that it was offside.
Yes.
And when the replay showed it wasn't offside, they then said, oh, it might well be that it's a handball, but they didn't really cover it that well.
Right, okay.
And obviously in football, everything is just opaque and completely Kafkaesque, isn't it? You know, not what's happening.
Because I think it's very black and white, actually.
Because
if we've learned anything from VAR.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
It's either yes or no. People just...
Klopp needs to stop moaning about it.
Well, the first VAR decision for the penalty was... I thought that's probably the best application of VAR we've seen so far.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what we should expect.
No, I know, but it was...
But it's good to give a bit of credit.
Yeah. But it was so stand out. I was like, why aren't they all like that? And obviously football doesn't work that way because there are so many different, different moments that need to be analysed by videos.
But Viz, we are going to be in a... It's not definite, but it's potentially a situation that we're going to find ourselves in the medium future, where every manager and every player is going to have had some kind of difficult experience with VAR, which hasn't proven itself to be quote unquote fair because the authorities are going to insist on keeping it. So you're going to have a sport governed in a way that none of the main protagonists within the sport actually agree with it. And that, philosophically, without getting too high minded, is quite problematic.
It is, but then if it affects everyone, then it's fine, isn't it? Because it evens itself out.
Right. And I guess everything's complete shit. But the good news is, it's shit for everyone.
But people coming up through the sport, presumably, they'll be brainwashed by this VAR.
Maybe they'll just be used to it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Well, it'll be part of their lives the whole time.
It's because it's something that was explained specifically the penalty. The way the reviewed penalties was changed at the start of this Premier League season, because it had been in effect throughout Europe, one of the things they said was they noticed a change in behaviours of defenders in Italy, of defenders in Germany. And they said it will happen over here. And I was a little bit worried by that, because I feel like we're already meeting it more than halfway. And I think there is already an assumption that if we are going to make any changes going forward, we've kind of got to make it as a collective. We can't really do so as a league outright, certainly to my mind.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think... I wonder why Klopp kind of suddenly decided to say this now. I mean, there was talk of Conte piping up as well yesterday. Conte had a big row with Fabio Capello.
Why do you reckon Conte was not in a good mood, eh?
Yeah, he's always in a bad mood.
Yeah, I know, but he's always
angry. Well, no, well, it's obvious why. you know why. Everyone listening knows why. But I'm just saying, it feels to me a bit like this is a hill that the officials are going to die on, come what may.
Yeah.
And you're right, once you let the genie out the bottle, very difficult to do anything. I mean, it's hard to get a consensus on a lot of things in football, let alone something as important as this. And if you're going to deviate, I mean, they already deviate slightly, don't they, between different leagues around Europe. So it's difficult to get a full solution that's going to work for everyone.
We're going to have plenty more time to talk about lovely, lovely VAR. So it might be good to get on to the next...
Yeah, shut up, Vish. In our future. She just saw you about to say something. She's just like, shut up, Vish.
Well, unless it's really amazing and preferably not on VAR.
Well, no.
She'll decide.
Okay, well, two things. It's not amazing when it is on VAR. Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't think Klopp was that pissed off, though. I thought he was quite...
He's just
I think
doing
was,
a Mourinho. It's but just
no,
a...
I don't even think... That, I thought it was just
quite
a bit,
hard to read.
I thought he was a little bit annoyed that, like, why are we still here?
Sorry,
we should have been gone 10 minutes ago.
It's quite,
that's a good point. Yeah, 9 minutes of added time is difficult.
Yeah. Sorry, I meant to say he's quite transparent. Not hard to read. He's quite transparent when he. It's almost like he can't help himself.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know
what I find
So he's not very controlled, is he? And you think and when it was all going really well last season, and we should, by the way, take time to remember that. They had an astonishing start to the season last season. I mean, it was unprecedented. They just
the
won
league
game
was bloody
after
won
game
by this time last season.
And so people have got maybe got an opinion off based off that of Klopp more recently that like he's just this happy-go-lucky, smiley, cuddle guy. And when things aren't going quite so well, he's obviously pissed off about the injuries and the demands being placed on his players. And he's pissed off about VAR because...
I
personally think it's because they're stuck in the middle of Denmark when they want to go home.
I want us to end on a bit more like love for Denmark, by the
way. It's basically like when you get stuck in the departure lounge with your flight's delayed and you get pissed off with a vending machine. There's not enough of a selection. There's nowhere else you can go. You're just stuck there.
Somebody thought, I wanted to go to Noma.
That's not even open.
It was because they'd never conceded to a Danish side in the Champions League before Wednesday. You know, I was saying about Michelin knowing how to party a while back. I remembered why it was. Because they beat Manchester United in the Europa League, maybe 2016.
Right.
Yeah. And there was this amazing whole load of socials that went round of them dancing, fucking amazingly, in the dressing room afterwards, like literally living it large. So in the end, it was a bit disappointing that they didn't get the big win. That they, you know,
didn't they get pumped in the second leg or something?
Yes, but that was before that.
Yeah, Fisher remembers that.
The glory is.
Gave us a little wink there.
He did.
Not a problem.
I was involved. They played me.
But speaking of players dancing around, I mean, did you see the tweet that went a little? Well, I think it went viral, really, of Kylian Mbappe trying to play basketball while waiting. During the PSG game?
No.
No, I haven't seen
everyone
that.
Everyone was saying his skills were rubbish.
Oh, come on. He's like pretty much one of the best footballers in the world. You don't have to also play basketball. It's a completely different kind of coordination.
Mm. But it doesn't mean he shouldn't be ridiculed for being rubbish. Because he's too young. He's too good. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Marcus tells a good story about when he had a ramble meets with Kevin Gallagher. He was in the Scottish, I think it was Kevin Gallagher, he was in the Scottish squad in the 98 World Cup against Brazil, and they opened the tournament.
Yeah.
And the opening ceremony overran, so they couldn't get on the pitch and warm up.
Oh.
So all the Scottish players were doing shuttle runs and doing their stretches in the corridor. And Kevin Gallagher said he'd run down the corridor, look through a little circular window into the next room, and the Brazilian players were all in there with the ghetto blasters just dancing. He was like,
well, they're not proper professionals, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't fine. One of them scored an own goal.
At the Etihad, Man City beat Marseille 3-0. Nine changes on the night for Pep Guardiola's side. Ferran Torres' fourth goal at the group stage to open things off and then open things off or up.
Yeah.
And Sergio Aguero coming off the bench to score within 10 minutes of his return. Some lovely stuff, really, for Pep Guardiola. Was anyone else surprised that Marseille were still in a position to have European football? I just feel like every time I look up, they're just being dreadful or trying to make some sort of claim about retiring the number 10 in order to distract from them.
Well, Vince Bros is an itinerant chap, isn't he? So I think people are starting to think that he might be ready to move on. I mean, Guardiola didn't seem very happy. I mean, he seemed to be giving quite short answers to questions about Zach Steffen and Aguero and the derby this weekend and whether Aguero was going to play. He just, when he was asked about that, he just went, no.
I think that's probably the right answer, isn't it?
All I'm saying is, when you're doing these things, when you're covering dead rubbers in the Champions League as a journalist, Vish, learn from this, have a bit of fun with it. Ask some stupid questions. Look at the guy from TalkSport asking Jose Mourinho who'll follow him back on Instagram.
Dig out the moose.
And that's not even a euphemism, that's his actual name.
That could also have been related to the fact that we learned this week that Edison really likes boxing and beating up his fellow teammates. So perhaps Pep Guardiola was worried that he had pissed him off.
He's not going to go at the big man, though, is he?
I don't know.
I mean, look at Edison, and are you surprised that man likes violence?
No.
I reckon all those tattoos, especially the one on his, the ones on his neck, are DIY jobs. I reckon he's watched a YouTube video. Jesus. And he's thought, you know, I could do that. I love smiley faces.
I promise you, back in Portsmouth, back in the early 90s, I'm telling you this now, there was a tattoo parlour, tattoo studio under the arches of the railway bridge as the train comes into Portsmouth Harbour Station, where you could go in, obviously go in and get tattoos. I'm 90% sure it was just a room for anyone to do a tattoo. So maybe Edison went there.
Like hot desk.
Yeah, if you've got your own gear, do it in here.
Fancy hell.
That's kind of the slogan. Especially if you've got your own gear, do it in here.
So, like, just swallows on hands, cobwebs on elbows, and the old anchor. That's it. Maybe that's where Edison goes.
Someone I know, him and his best mate had made a pact to get tattoos together, and my mate went first, and then the other mate afterwards went, nah, I'm not getting it.
Jesus Christ. He needs to learn this martial arts.
They're
like
not
Edison.
Friends. They're not friends.
Well, not anymore, I guess.
No, they're not friends.
Gabriel Jesus says that players are afraid of Edison in that respect, and Edison says, it's respect, it's not fear.
He can't prove anything. Can't prove anything.
Sometimes I don't know how to control strength very well, and I end up exaggerating a little. The guys,
Lenny from myself,
have already. Oh my god, the kitten is dead. The guys will already complain that I punch too hard.
You've taken his head off.
The right cross has power.
Do you box much? The right cross has got power.
Like, I like the way that he's made it passive, that it has power. It's like something outside of my body. I don't control it.
Imagine how much of an alpha you have to be an alpha in a top level professional football dressing room. That's what I would say. You know, and we talked earlier about Brazilian players just liking to have a dance. That's a stereotype. They also like martial arts. They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Edison's obviously one of them. Yeah.
Oh my God, he also put Yaya Toure in a chokehold. We played a lot.
He's an old man.
Says Edison. Once in the locker room, we ended up catching each other and I put a rear naked choke on him. He was like, Ed, stop, stop. I think he's too old. Age weighs a little.
Bloody eyes to dig as well.
Yeah, I think a rear naked choke is just a move.
They're not both naked.
Yeah. Well, it's not like the James Beattie, Tony Pulis scenario.
It's just that they were in the locker room. I mean, it could have been a rear naked choke.
Could have done. Yeah. Could have been.
I don't know what the edits
or
have been on this.
A rear naked choke, brackets naked.
Naked. Yeah. A naked rear naked choke, I guess, would have been how it would have gone anyway. Does anyone want to talk about the actual game?
I wanted to ask Vish if he had to kind of take on one-on-one. In the octagon, as I believe they call it, one of the Man City players, who would you choose?
One of the children.
Ball boy again. Yeah. Back to the ball boy.
Yeah, I'll take on a ball boy. Yeah. That'll be his origin story.
What about that kit man who likes dancing around in front of them and stuff?
I think he might have some moves.
Probably, yeah.
Because you know, when you're so involved in the banter, I mean, some moves in terms of fighting.
Imagine being felled by banter. What's he good at? He's good at banter. He'll take you, yeah.
I feel as though that is how you fell people. Floor you're selfish.
Floor you with a wry observation. Mm.
That's your modus.
I was trying to think of...
So are you going to cut Vish off now, Lee? Vish, stop being so boring.
You put it in my head that I've got
to fight... I suddenly remembered the game. I was like, oh yeah.
You put it in my head that I've got to fight someone. Yeah. I reckon he'd hurt me and he might win, but you've got to fancy a chance against Raheem Sterling.
No.
Yeah, well, he's little.
I think his footballers are
hard. He's so powerful. Like, he's very hard. Like, he just...
It always makes me think about when you see journalists, particular types of journalists, not you, Vish, particular types of journalists like chipping off about players and like calling them out for being this, that and the other. For example, I know it'll be a sub-editor doing it, but occasionally like someone in Fleet Street will call a player in quotes like a bottler or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, having interviewed some footballers as you guys have and having known the occasional journalist... I know which side I'd back because when you see a football player, they're just like granite.
Yeah.
They're like absolute granite. And I think Raheem Sterling would take 20 seconds on you.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Not even.
Yeah.
You might be able to floor him with a wry quip though, mate.
To him, it would just be Tuesday.
Yeah,
It would just be an average day in the life. But anyway, do you want to write to reply on that?
No, I did start this point by saying that I know he could take me, but I would like.
But that's who you choose.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't play yesterday, did he? He came on, didn't he?
He was getting ready for the big fight.
He came on, I think. I think he came on.
Running scared.
Was,
yeah.
But Andrea Vierce-Boas gets a lot of good press because of people like Andy Brassel, someone absolutely clear, who absolutely loves him.
Really?
He's done a good job at Marseille, hasn't he? But they've been poor in the Champions League this season. And when you said that they still had something to play for, they could have gone into the Europa League, right? Yeah, but they weren't able to do that. And it was obviously going to be difficult for them to do it because they're away at Man City.
Yeah, they ended with 3 points, though. I mean, it's not a great return.
Great for...
full stop, I mean.
Yeah. Great for Aguero to get a goal, obviously. And Torres is kind of... Do you think, Vish, that Torres is... sort of almost under the radar, been quite impressive.
I don't think he's been under the radar.
I think if you walked down the street and asked 20 football fans who Ferran Torres was, I don't think there would be anything like the recognition that you'd think.
I mean, yeah, he might not get a shout on Family Fortunes.
But... No. Is that even a show? Yeah. Still?
Well, it's one of the ask people in the street about random.
Fair point. Yeah.
But no, I think because he's been one of the few forward players who's been good for them. I think if you look at how, certainly the best work the City have done this year, and it hasn't been a good start to the year for them. You know, Cancelo has been someone who stood out as a player who is pretty incredible on both flanks. And Ferran Torres has been the exciting one, really, because they have been a bit too static up front.
But he's done his best work in the Champions League, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, and internationally for Spain as well. Yeah. So I think a lot of people are aware of what he's been capable of. And, you mentioned Aguero there. That's someone who, you know, him coming back. I think it's only his second goal this season. I think he's only played 5 or 6 games this season as well, Aguero.
Man City are a curious case this season because if you turn it back onto the Premier League, you look at bookmakers, they're still, I think, second favourites. And they're still, people still have given them a huge chance. But they've got a lot of teams, I know it's early on still, but they've got a lot of teams above them. You know, they've got a lot of, it's not just the points, remember, it's the teams you've got to overhaul as well. And I think people are expecting them to properly hit their straps at some point. It's not quite happened yet. And as I've said repeatedly on the show this season so far, waiting for a team to stamp their authority on it. And it's not been Man City so far. So I think they're probably, on that basis, you know, you wonder what's going to happen over the next, you know, the critical Christmas period, really.
Decent moment to strike, perhaps, for Manchester United at the weekend. Well, little jaunt.
God, no.
It's all right, Vish. We'll do that tomorrow. You're in tomorrow, so we'll come, mate.
Little jaunt to Old Trafford on Saturday. We shall see. There's also plenty of, don't forget, all the detail on the European teams in On the Continent today. That's out later. There was a hat-trick from Neymar in the restarted PSG Istanbul Başakşehir Shahir game. Lovely show of unity in that one. That finished 5-1. UEFA obviously investigating what happened on Tuesday night. Inter, some, as you mentioned, some extraordinary scenes and also some irritation, let's say. So there'll be plenty of that for you on the Continent. Dotton and Andy joined by Miguel Delaney. Lots and lots of topics this week. And also, I'm sure they'll talk about the sad loss of the great Paolo Rossi. Head over to Football Ramble Presents later or right now. You can pause this, get on it.
Subscribe now and it drops in your phone.
You don't even need to pause this, really.
You're laughing.
You can just... Yeah. In fact, we're about to get a break, so maybe do it right now. Do it now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your Elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham without reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yeah, swear to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Merry Christmas!
I'm Martin Keown, and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble.
Right. I'm Martin Keown, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
I really love kept that in. I feel so bad for him.
Why?
Have you heard his output?
I don't know what to say. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. I thought that was really impressive, the way that he asked him to say it with the full title. That's good journalism there from one of our friends and colleagues. Now, guys, it's time for these.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, show Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke. All my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yeah, as podcasting's most obnoxious jingle indicates, it's now time for emails, and we've had one from Oliver Thornton Hale, who says, "Dear Ramble, in these troubling times, it's important for us football fans to keep the sport alive locally. I live in Loughborough, where some of the locals have formed a small team so we can keep in contact with each other and the sport we love." It's great, that. Like to see that. I like to see a bit of light coming out of the darkness. Many of us being avid listeners to the show, it was a delight to find when going into training one day, I like the way he uses quotes for training. He says more of just a loose kickabout. There are probably cans involved. That the manager of the team had gotten his mum to sew the words "fire in the belly, head in the freezer" into all the tops where the logo would be. It has now almost become the slogan of the team, almost, disappointing, and we all sit around listening to the latest pods whenever we're training. Fantastic. Thank you for that, Oliver. Love to see an attached photo. We'll happily share it on social media to get that slogan off the ground properly. I'm going to do a range of T-shirts and merch as well at some point, I think.
Maybe this guy's mum could do it.
Get in touch. If she's a whiz with the sewing machine, sounds good to me. There will be, of course, as I've already said, another edition of Luke's Game tomorrow, where the man sat to my left will be defending his title against People's Champion Marcus Speller.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting, all of us. Yes, and also, we'd love to see a bit of footage of this training.
Yeah. Probably won't go for very long.
We should all get tattoos of
down in Portsmouth. Go to that place.
Why don't you go first, Vish, and then...
No, that's going to be burned that way. I've got an email from Will Phillips. "Hello, Ramblers. Back when I was around 8 years old, my dad used to get quite posh tickets through work to go to Old Trafford. As one of the very few children in these well-to-do areas, amongst a sea of what Roy Keane would describe as the prawn sandwich brigade..." Just going to interject here. Nothing wrong with prawn sandwiches. Let me just say that.
Presumably Oliver Thornton Hale would have been there, based on that name.
"I often got quite favourable treatment from the staff and former players. At a midweek Champions League game, a A man approached me, hold on, gave me a jovial jab in the stomach and asked if I'd like to go and meet a special guest.
Oh my God, what is this?
I was then led to the front of an unbelievably long queue of waiting people to a man sat down signing autographs. My guide introduced me and then got this man to sign my programme. I returned to my dad, who with pride in his eyes asked, "So how was that?" My reply, "Well, I like the first old man much more than the second." Years later, I learned the first old man was Storming Norman Whiteside and the second was the late great Eusebio.
Wow. Oh,
youth is wasted on the young. It really is. Yeah.
It is. And I mean, Eusebio is an absolute legend in the house I grew up in. It hushed tones about how great a player he was and all the rest of it. Storming Norman, though. Can't knock it. And yeah. The Killers named a song after him, didn't they?
I did.
No, yeah. So you can't argue with that. It's quite funny when you think of being that young and meeting someone that signifies such a lot and it's kind of wasted. It's really interesting. Have you ever met anyone famous, Kate?
Never in my life.
Nah, exactly. See? Don't remember it.
I met Rory Bremner at And he's the ultimate famous person.
He did an impression of all white
well, he's the most famous person you can meet because he can do impressions of all the famous people in the world.
That's all you need.
Yeah. He's like a Swiss pocket knife as a celebrity.
Who have you met? Everyone. Well, I met Rory Bremner once. what was his standout for you?
My dad introduced me to him because his son went to my school as well. And I was about 6 or 7 at the time. And I obviously had no idea who he was. And my dad introduced me to him because he was like, "Oh, he's a funny man, you should meet him." And I was like, "Oh, what do you do?" And he went, "Oh, I do impressions." And I was like, and I just went, "Of who?" And my dad was like, "That's enough now. Let's take you back."
So, yeah. So one thing that is fascinating, I reckon I've met 3 celebrity impressionists in my various work, and that none of them can communicate apart from through impressions. They do them all the time. So they just do them.
It's like method acting.
Yeah. I think it's the way that they express themselves.
Have you met, so like Jim's not like this, which is refreshing, but I've met a few comedians who don't laugh.
Right.
Who like just can't laugh at other people's jokes. Like it's a commodity that they,
I think your jokes aren't very funny, man. That's what it is. No, it is, but I'm a comedian, so I don't laugh at other people's jokes. They've done you there, mate. You will have a look at that.
He's so straight. Yeah. Yeah, all right, mate. Well, you think you're funny, though.
Yeah.
But we're not in the profession, I guess.
No, shout out to Will Phillips, though, for meeting Eusebio. That's great. I'm very jealous of that.
Man, and he can reflect on it anyway, can't he? And that's the main thing.
It's like when we went to... He can reflect. That's a great story to tell. We went to...
In a sense, he dissed Eusebio, is what we're getting from this.
I don't think Eusebio would have noticed.
No.
It's fine. When me... Pete, Jim and Marcus went to a semi-final at Wembley Stadium once. I think it was Liverpool-Everton. And we got separated into twos. I can't remember who I was with. I think I might have been with Pete on one side and Marcus and Jim around the other side.
Is that in case you fought?
Probably, yeah. And you got
bookends.
You got to put in this little place where you could have a bit of food and stuff. And there were ex-footballers in there.
Prawn sandwiches?
And I can't remember, probably. And we met someone completely underwhelming. I forget what. It might have even been Martin Keown. It might have been. Guess who they got the other side? Claudio fucking Caniggia.
Stop.
A legend of the South American game. A legend of World Cup 90. Fuming.
I can't believe you've forgotten who the underwhelming
was. That's how bad it was.
That is how bad it was.
Yeah. Also, the idea that you go, "Sorry, can someone take this back? Can we get something else?"
But we didn't know.
In your corporates.
We didn't know they had Caniggia. We didn't know until after. We assumed it would be shit on that side as well.
If you've ever met anyone really underwhelming in football, email us, show@footballramble.com or tweet @footballramble.
Another example, like when John Jensen told my friend when he was about 8 years old to fuck off. You know, it's a great story.
Do we tell children? What is this telling children to fuck off thing? It's very unusual.
Ask John Jensen.
Okay.
Could have done it last night. He might have been at the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One for a ramble meets, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your mate to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Lock the door.
I've been waiting for this moment all my life, John.
Fuck off. Yeah. That's it.
Like a shit man for taken.
Thanks for coming in today. Let's get you settled down. Let's test the mic, shall we?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Anyway,
let's talk about Sheffield United, shall we, guys? I think they deserve a bit of support.
Yeah, maybe they do. Well, look, I mean, Finn, who's assistant producer for today and for every day, in fact, he's a big Sheffield United fan. And I said, Finn, I mean, it's be interesting to talk about Sheffield United today because they're quite an interesting story based on what I've done this year and what I've done last year. And I said, just put a couple of bullet points in the running order about how bad they are. And he's done 7 of what? How shit they are.
Why? So, yeah, and why? How is the running order, you know, damp from tears?
It's more, it's more of a therapy session for him.
It's a digital copy. I don't
know. Finn feels much better getting it off his chest. So
I think that's really important.
But they've had the worst start of any team in the Premier League. And part of the reason I wanted to bring them to the table today is because... or wanted us to bring him to the table today. I think NASCAR under the radar. We're going to talk about things that are under the radar, Vish. You won't give me Ferran Torres. Will you give me Sheffield United having the worst start of any team in the Premier League era? Because it's not been spoken about that much.
I think it has been spoken
about. Am I just not reading the news?
Yeah, where have you been?
So there's this thing, the Premier League table. I know it doesn't really exist until Christmas, because does it really count? But if
it's
you
like
look
a mirage
at it,
until Christmas. It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Doesn't count, yeah. But if you look at it, Sheffield United... they've got literally, to quote Jamie Randall, they've got literally 1 point.
Very out of character for you, Kate, to be paying attention to the league table. Can I ask why that is? Yeah. Vested interest
What's
at
happened?
All?
Yeah.
I don't, actually, it's hard for me to look that far down it, to be honest. But yeah.
Really? But you know where that part of the table is, though, don't you?
I know where it is.
Yeah.
She can enjoy that trophy they give out in December. Well, yeah.
I like to keep
the Scottish League Cup.
I like to keep track of Jim's team, so I just occasionally glance down anyway. Yes, 1 point.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, I don't think you're wrong there, because I think what a lot of people have seen in Sheffield United's form, and specifically in the matches, is that they've played very similarly in patches to how they played last season. And I think because we already regarded this season as a bit of an anomaly before it even started, really.
Yeah.
And I suppose especially so at the start with all those freak results. I think we all kind of assumed anyway that we would regress to some kind of normality. And we saw that a little bit with the way that Everton and Aston Villa dropped off. We're kind of seeing it now in the way that Manchester City and, I suppose, slightly further above them, Liverpool are coming back as well. But we haven't really seen that specifically in Sheffield United, because even Fulham have enjoyed a little bit of an upturn.
I think Fulham are the ones who've got all the attention. 3 or 4 weeks ago,
because they were dreadful. Yeah, but
people were saying that they might not ever win a game all season. Or
yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That's why I think you are right, because I think people thought that Sheffield United would correct themselves, and it hasn't come to pass.
Right.
Because we're at a stage now where I think only Newcastle and Burnley have shot fewer times than them in the Premier League altogether so far.
And even though shots aren't going, I mean, look, Michael Cox did a piece, didn't he, on the XG stat, and you know, XG is an interesting piece of information, because across a longer period, it's very indicative. And I think if people, I don't want to kind of jump on people who are criticising XG, because you know that's a different discussion. But if you just look at one game or the occasional game on XG, it's not really going to tell you much, because you know it's more of a trend situation. And the trend, Michael Cox was arguing, I don't know why I keep using his full name. It's like
Solly March.
It's like Rob Lee.
Solly March, yeah.
Or Rob Lee. No one just says Lee, do they?
Yeah.
Rob Lee. Across the season, I think Sheffield United have massively underperformed on what they would have expected to score. So it's not only the fact that they're not shooting much, they're not taking those chances either. They've scored 5 goals in the league this season. I think XG has them down at about 12, scoring 12 overall. I don't know what that would mean in terms of their points, but you'd think that, you know, an extra 7 goals, over doubling their goal tally, would give them a few points as well, and they'd be right in the mix down the bottom. So the problem is, though, Vish, when you get onto that and you start then having to think about the character of the players and the confidence and how much they can go on to achieve if everything they do just comes back to bite them, particularly in light of that Leicester game, which is an absolute sickener.
Oh,
and Chris Wilder looked like he was out of ideas, or sounded like he was out of ideas after that game. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was pretty bleak, you know?
Yeah. Is the point you're making that there aren't structural issues, there's just effectively... it's unlucky, like the chances aren't being converted? Because one of the things that strikes me is that they have actually spent money. They spent over £110 million pounds since arriving
That's
in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Chris Ward has made some interesting and like good, exciting signings. For example, Aaron Ramsdale, Jaden Bogle, Max Lowe, Oliver Burke, Rian Brewster, all like great signings from the looks of things. But let's not forget, because they're talented, because they're young. But on the other hand, you know, they're all 23 or under, they're talented and young. Will they come together to form a coherent side? And do they have that kind of experience to dig in when they're struggling?
Yeah, that's spot on, because I did a piece on West Brom at the start of this season where they, you know, I spoke to some people at the club, and one of the things they were looking at with their recruitment was that they realised they needed a bit more energy, so they were going to get younger players in.
Mm.
And obviously, all those players you mentioned are all under 23 as well, that Sheffield United have brought in. And if you remember Sheffield United of last season, when they were doing things well, they were a little bit all over you, really. There was an element of Leeds United to them, weren't there?
Yes.
In that they had someone in David McGoldrick who wasn't necessarily scoring, well, he wasn't scoring the goals, but he was someone who you could rely on his touch and you could rely on his position. So you could work around him, really, even though he was quite far forward. It seemed to work for them. And obviously Lundstrom scoring the goals that he did and scoring some important goals played a huge part in that. Yeah. But the thing you're going to get with youngsters is they're not going to be hardened to certain aspects of league football, of which fighting against relegation, coming out of a rut such as that, is one of them. And they'll get that. They're getting that experience now. But, you know, what is that quote they say about experience? It's something you get right after you need it.
Yeah, so, exactly. And I think I would probably highlight Oliver Norwood as a player in if you're going to take it in microcosm, because you look at him... Mm. I think, you know, up until last season, where he featured in every game and was really important for them, and whenever I saw him, he was decent, or sometimes even better than decent. Up until that season, his best work was done in the Championship, right? So I remember him when he was at Reading, he was absolutely outstanding. One of the best players in the Championship at the time. Yeah, he's done a lot of his best work in the second tier. But he comes in, obviously they get promoted. He plays really well in the Premier League last season. And he's not really done much this season. He's been in and out of the team. His form's been poor. And I wonder whether, obviously it's too simplistic to say it's just down to him, but that might be an example in microcosm of what's starting to go wrong for them. And also, they've not been anywhere near as settled with their backline either.
Yeah.
They've shuffled that around. But I still don't think that is indicative of why they've been quite this bad. I think they've also been a bit unlucky as well. And I said about four or five games on the show, I wouldn't be worried about them just yet. But obviously now you're getting to the point where you're thinking, is it possible to move from one point? They basically need to pick up, 33, 34 points in their last however many games? There's only 27 games left. So it's a big turnaround.
They've got to win games that they're not expected to win, basically. Yeah, which
and
is
the problem
a tough situation to be
when
in.
It turns into a trend, doesn't it? And Chris Wilder, like you say, if he seems a bit out of ideas, how's he going to arrest that? You mentioned the Leicester... last-minute Leicester win against Sheffield United. Something sort of quite sweet has come out of that, because Jamie Vardy, you know how he quite often sort of slides into the corner.
Sweet and Jamie Vardy?
Yes!
Unless it's Red Bull, there's no such thing as sweet with Jamie Vardy.
Oh, that's Skittles vodka.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's another one, yeah.
He sort of slide-tackled the corner flag, as he quite often does.
The optics of that were quite poor, weren't they?
Well, I guess, but only if you've never seen Jamie Vardy celebrate a goal. As in,
had the pride flag on it.
Yeah, because so it's Rainbow Laces week this week, and the idea is just to, you know, try and help people from the LGBT community plus community feel more welcome in football. And so they've got the flag on, the corner flags, and the colours, and people wearing rainbow laces. And anyway, Jamie Vardy slid into the flag, as he often does, but then on Twitter and all these people start mouthing off, it's because he hates gay people or whatever.
I mean, even for Twitter. I'm going to say,
but it's just
even
if no one's
Twitter.
Seen him do that before, or because they've never watched it. Anyway.
Yeah, so even if they haven't, the very idea that a football player is going to go, right, I'm pissed off about those corner flags. In the middle of a game, I'm going to kick the shit out of one. It's not going to happen, is it?
Anyway, he did demolish it. It
was amazing,
didn't it? It's kind of bizarre.
I would say about it is he did it properly.
Yeah. But I'm also concerned about how corner flags are made these days.
I don't think they can be that solid because they're dangerous.
Imagine if you ran into a robust tree trunk of a corner
flag.
You
don't want it shattering. You want whatever the equivalent is of non-shatter glass, right? That exists.
There was a guy
so it snaps, but
I know what you mean. Yeah, because those shards can be quite sharp.
Yeah.
There was a guy at my university who's a rugby player, obviously, who
drank his own piss.
Yeah, yes, but that's not the story I'm going to say. He
shat in someone else's shoe.
Dirty pints for fun.
Now. That's enough now, both of you. He tackled.
Passed it backwards. Sorry, go on.
Yeah.
Turn up to lectures in a blazer.
You have to, yeah. That's a bit rich. he tackled a hedge, right? As a bit of banter, in quotes, when he was drunk and a big metal spike pole in the middle of it and broke his shoulder, and it kind of put me in mind of that, because Vardy did properly shatter the flag, but you don't want them to be made of anything other than breakable material, right? Because otherwise it's going to be dangerous. Shouldn't be doing that. Should that be a yellow card, Vish?
Snapping the corner flag. It was the damaged property, isn't it?
It was a yellow.
Oh, you got a yellow card.
You got a yellow card for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that ungentlemanly conduct?
Overzealous celebration.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Forget VAR. forget VAR. That's the law I want out as quick as possible. You can't be too overzealous. The only thing you should get booked for is planning a celebration.
No, I ain't got a problem with that.
When the Icelandic team kept doing all those wacky ones. When it crosses over into wackiness, that should be a yellow card.
So are you pro the US national team celebrating their 11th goal in the 13-0 against Thailand?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, right. You just think you've got to celebrate every goal like it's your last or
there's
first.
There was nothing wrong with the American-Thailand thing.
No, okay. I don't think so. It's not their fault. No. Is it? I mean, if you're going right up into people's faces, then that's probably a little bit different. That'd but celebrating it's fine. I think a referee should be able to make a decision and say, you've crossed over into wackiness there. The yellow card is for wackiness. And put that in the laws of the game. Wackiness. I'll do VAR with that. Let's look at it again, see if it was too wacky. I'm fine with that. Overzealous? No. Be as zealous as you want. Asprilla with the corner flag and the shirt over the fans.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, though,
we're supposed to be enjoying ourselves.
We are. It's supposed to be enjoying ourselves.
One of the things you need to remember, though, is when you slow it down, everything looks wacky.
That's true. Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Watch like 1,000 times, you're seeing wackiness everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. What I would say about the Vardy thing, I thought...
I haven't actually said what he did, by the way. He signed the flag afterwards and then sent it to...
Fox's pride on it.
Fox's pride, yeah. Keep up the good work, he said, and signed it with his name. So, it's a sort of symbol of their relationship, his relationship with the community, and a quite a nice thing to do with a broken flag.
He didn't want that to go public, actually, but Rebecca Vardy Instagrammed it.
Colleen Rooney Instagrammed it, surely.
Yeah, who knows?
You going to say something, Fish?
Yeah, no, I thought it was, like, I totally agree with you. Like, it was definitely like a mountain out of a molehill. But at the same time, it's just like quite a nice thing to come off the back of it. Especially, you know, it's only a week, isn't it? Or however long it is.
Turned it around.
It's quite an important scheme because I think, like having someone like Jamie Vardy aligned to it isn't actually a bad thing because I think people have these assumptions about Jamie Vardy's personality, kind of grounded in some of the stories we hear of him and what he puts across of himself. And it's quite nice that he's involved in quite a noticeable way.
Maybe the Skittles vodka was actually a Fox's Pride thing.
Rainbow vodka, yeah.
Beautiful.
I think Vish is trying to say that Jamie Vardy's a basic bitch.
No, I'm trying to say that if you Google Jamie Vardy and some of the things he's done socially, you'd wonder if he was of that mind. But this is quite a...
Who's the most basic bitch in football? Present company excluded, obviously.
Who's the most basic bitch in football?
If we're not in football.
I'll need to think about that because I what constitutes a basic bitch in football?
Just live, love, laugh. Thing on the wall at the house.
Within all footballers.
Fish, you're back tomorrow. So I think you should give this some thought.
Have a think about it.
I think you should give this some thought overnight and come back and tell us who is the most... Tell Luke, in fact.
Yeah. Before, just tell me on WhatsApp if you want.
Well, yeah. Kate won't be here tomorrow. So
no. Tonight in the Europa League, Celtic up against Lille, Leicester versus Ajax Athens, Lech Poznan, Rangers, Dundalk, Arsenal, nice one, and Spurs against Antwerp. Those are the key ones you'll be looking out for tomorrow. It is, of course, you, Vish, you, Luke, and Marcus in the hot seat.
Yeah. Before we go, can I just say, I take no pride in saying this. I've got no beef with either team, but it would be absolutely fucking amazing if Dundalk beat Arsenal tonight. Let's all get behind that.
All right.
We've got to get behind that.
We're out of here getting behind Dundalk. Say goodbye, guys. Say bye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Bye, Vish.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.